So I would like to introduce the scripture for this morning. Now, I will have your assignments in the book of John. So, you know, for those of you who want to follow along, we'll be jumping to a few passages. This is the main passage where we jump off this morning. This comes from Acts chapter 2. It says this: when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And the wind filled the whole house where they were seated. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. May God bless the reading of His Word. So, this is the day of Pentecost. Something is happening. Have we ever seen that happen here? Have you ever seen it happen? Bill, you saw it happen. When? Hold on. This is important.
I was 19 years old. I just got back from Jesus 79. And I went outside on a Monday morning, and I could feel the presence of evil. And didn't really notice it, but I just walked to my car. Tuesday the same way, Thursday the same way, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday I could not go outside because I knew Satan was outside waiting. And I grabbed the doorknob and I just couldn't go. And I cried out to God, said, God, what am I supposed to do? He goes, go outside and in my name rebuke this. And I did. And a rushing wind came through our porch. It was one of those August mornings that was so still that, but all of a sudden a breeze blew right through our front porch and everything was cleared up.
Wow. Bill, I've heard you tell a lot of stories. I've never heard that story. When we have conversations, You had your hand up, and I missed you.
That's all right. Many years ago, I have been attacked by my German Shepherd. Anna was about 3 years old, and she was, no, the dog was actually between her and me. And when he attacked me and bit me several times, I heard verbally something that was against my own grain. It just said, relax, nothing else, relax. And the weird thing was, the dog left off and looked at me like, what was that? I could take the dog, lead him to the kennel, was able to close the door almost completely, and he started lunging again. But this brief moment, I was protected, and this was the only time, honestly, the only time that I ever heard the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, one of the three or all three, audibly.
Okay. So why did I give you opportunity to share there? Because there is something about serving the one true God that makes any other conversation about religion different. And we talk about Jesus Christ because He is the one Son who came, God in flesh, very unique. But He left something that brings God to us through His work, and that's the Holy Spirit. Now, this morning, we will not answer all the questions about the Holy Spirit, but I do want to drop a seed to tell you that the Holy Spirit is a real person and He is active And when these people share, it's not like, oh, I have something different because I didn't have their experience. When I let them share, it's because there was something active for you by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about why that is this morning. We're going to talk about that journey. So the way I'm going to introduce it this morning is from this verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It is a verse that I probably told you a million times that you need to have underlined in your Bible. By the way, remember in the summer you need to bring your Bible? So those of you who brought your Bible, good job. This is the way that we're going to make this work, because you're going to have to be looking at the verses to be able to interact with these summer sessions. Ephesians 5:18 says this. There's a big do not sign at the beginning of Ephesians 5:18. It says, do not be drunk with wine. Which is, and this is my King James coming out, and all your versions will have different words here. King James, it says, which is debauchery. NASB, I think, says dissipation, which is dissipation. Does somebody have an NIV there?
Debauchery,
okay. Depravity. But be filled with the Spirit. We have an absolute contrast here that is for you. It is for you. And just to do a little Greek grammar here, when it says be filled with the Spirit, it is actively telling you to be being filled. It is like having a gas station pump attached to your gas tank. Be being filled. So, to begin the conversation, let me talk about a couple things. And I'm going to use this word, trigger. Do you have triggers? We understand triggers, don't we? And why are they a trigger? Because on a gun, a trigger controls something that happens. And we see triggers in our lives as something that controls something in us. So let me talk about a couple of my triggers. The first illustration I have is I get triggered when I get treated unfairly. You ever get triggered in situations like that? So I had my first iPhone. I thought, oh, I'm going to get an iPhone because, you know, iTunes and all this stuff. I didn't realize that I really didn't need an iPhone. But I got one, paid money for it, and proceeded to go swimming with it. But fortunately, I had a warranty, so I paid my $199, and I got another iPhone. And I proceeded to wash that one. So then they said, you know what, no more warranty. You're on your own. I got my last iPhone, and I was at the Y, and I dropped it, and it cracked the screen, which looked really horrible, but it worked just fine. So my little cracked screen iPhone, it was working absolutely fine for several months. And then I saw this sign in Staples that said, oh, we replace screens. And I thought, oh, man, Staples, reputable. Let me replace my screen. $99, all right. So pretty much what happened was that Staples replaced my screen. The screen looked fine, but the phone didn't work anymore. So I took it to Montour Wireless, and they said, well, somebody bashed these two pins, and that's why it's not working. So I took it back to Staples, go, oh, no, we didn't. I was a little upset. It was a trigger. I did not act in any way in my mind or words, thoughts, that was of the Spirit. And you know what? That bad experience affected a lot of ways that I treated other people. Like my kids. It just is what happens. It's kind of, you know, you kick the dog because you got kicked. That's a trigger. And that's control. Another thing that really kind of is a trigger for me is when my children don't listen to me. And when I say don't listen to me, you know, if you could just give a little space before arguing, you know, like 3 seconds, at least I know that something was soaking in. And I can find myself ramped up and being triggered pretty quickly. Now, I share those things. Now, right now, you might be thinking about, oh, our pastor is really flawed. Well, guess what? I am flawed. But what I want you to do right now is to be thinking about what controls you. Because when we talk about the Holy Spirit wants to bring the kingdom of God to control your actions and your thoughts, and to bring you peace in the middle of situations which are not peaceful. Now, secondly, I want to just bring up this idea of being drunk. This is so wonderful. This was written by Paul, breathed by the Holy Spirit, 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. And he uses something that's practical to us 2,000 years later, which we understand what drinking does. We see it. But let's talk about all the things that can control us. So wine is a connection to the first century. Wine controls you, but there are a lot of other things that control you. And some are legal, and some aren't legal. So let's just get out of our mind that that there is some kind of like, okay, well, if it's allowed, then it's okay. If you aren't controlled by the Spirit of God, it's NIV debauchery. What does that mean? You're working, you're living in a different world that's not God's world. Does that make it simple? And you're living by control of something that is not you. So, who are you? So, I'd like to jump to these three passages in John. Okay, so, a question. Well, I guess I'm flawed in more ways than I thought. Yes. Well, Pastor Dale got a little exuberant and added a number there. Okay, first section, John chapter 7. Please look up the reference, John 7, 37 through 39. This section right here, John 14, 16 through 18, I'm going to ask one of you to read those passages. This section right here, John 16, 12 through 15, I'm going to ask one of you to read it, and you guys get to pick whatever one you want. Okay? Let's do it that way. Okay, someone read John 7, 37 through 39. Are there verses 37 through 39? Okay, could someone read it, please? Okay, so what things do we see in this passage that tell us about the Holy Spirit? He was coming. Okay, what else? Those who believe will receive. more. Yes, so when Aaron's saying believe you will receive, there is a connection here, and that is if you're thirsty, then what happens? You'll receive, but not only that. What else does it say? The Holy Spirit does something that flows out. So I'm just going to say flow out, and I'm already invading this other spot here. I'm sorry about the green, but somehow I lost my black one. So, okay, anything else you want to add to that? Those are the three main ones I wanted, but there's more there. So look at this is what Jesus is saying. If you're thirsty, come to me. Right? So in the middle of this Holy Spirit thing is Jesus. And out of him will flow rivers of living water. And then we see that this is the Holy Spirit. Okay. John 14, 16 through 18. Yes. Yes. Okay. John 14. Okay, so what are some things about the Holy Spirit here? Yeah, right. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Okay, what else? He is, yeah, helper. Indwelling. Okay, but this never abandon. So how do we see that never abandon? I will not leave you as orphans. You have a need. So I'm going to put this. Abandoned. Never. So, not orphans. And so what does that mean? That means we have a family. We have a father. Okay, but there was another one over here and I didn't... Indwelling. Okay, now you guys are going way too fast for me to write here. Brian?
It's forever.
Forever. Eternal. And then? Abides. With you. And he's in you. Okay, two more. Okay, so let's just talk about this, the receiving. So through Jesus, we receive. And the world doesn't receive. And why don't they receive? Because they didn't receive Jesus. Okay? Okay, so there are many more in that passage. That's really packed. Let's move on to John 16. By the way, you guys can step in any time here. I mean, depending on what you chose. Okay. Would somebody read John 16, please?
I
okay, this really is a powerful passage. So what are the things that you hear from this passage about the Holy Spirit? Okay, and so he will guide into all truth. Declare what is to come. There was in that verse, there was something that came before that. Okay, so I'm going to put this four. Yes. Now this is very, very critical. So the Holy Spirit in you actually has ears to hear from the Father and from Jesus the Son, and to speak that to who? To you. So when we talk about hearing God, you can't hear God without the Spirit of God. Okay? Someone else, number five. Okay, I got three hands. So I'm going to go front, back to front. So Janine, and then left to right, Brian, Russ. Glorifies Jesus. Brian?
Yeah, what I was going to say is similar. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus as the primary role.
Okay. Too much. And then that too much is parceled, isn't it? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit brings us into truth. And that when that says guide, it means not all at once. Yeah. So, wow. Okay, this is the Holy Spirit. Did you know those things about the Spirit of God? Yeah, so we had that declare what is to come. I think Karen said that. Yeah, so the things that God wants us to know are things here and things to come. Okay, so I wanted us to kind of process those John passages to start getting some fabric to thinking about the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
How do you know? Okay, so let me talk about something practical. There are manifestations that the Holy Spirit does that are different around the world because there's different cultures and there's different way that God's revealing himself. Okay. We are a Mennonite church. We have a Mennonite history. Now, talking about the Spirit of God is something that we would talk about in Mennonite history, but probably you would not necessarily have a testimony that we saw flaming tongues or speaking in tongues. Can I say that? Yeah. Kind of changes our paradigm, doesn't it? That's what I said, right? So what Aaron's saying is that, you know what, in the Mennonite church, in foreign countries, you see different things. So, this is what John said. So this is Luke, I think chapter 7, chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. John the Baptist said, listen, by the way, this is really wonderful, because if you look in Luke chapter 3, what you'll find is that the people are trying to figure out who John the Baptist is. So the first people that come to John, they go, they're tax collectors. And John's preaching repentance, and they come up to John, they go, we're tax collectors. What should we do, John? And he says, just make sure you charge what you're supposed to charge. Really practical. I mean, just absolutely practical. This is like kind of teaching. This is kind of like the law. And then what's the next group that comes up to him? Soldiers come up to him. They go, John, we're soldiers. What do we need to do? Well, listen. Treat the people that you're dealing with courtesy and not violence in an appropriate manner. So he's like, John the Baptist is teaching, and then they're thinking, okay, well, maybe he's the Christ. And this is what John says. There is one coming after me. Because I baptize with water for repentance sake, but the one coming after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So, when I ask you, do you have the Holy Spirit? This is John saying that Jesus came for you to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So when, and many of us in this congregation have been baptized. If I was part of your baptism, did I baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire? No, we got into a river or a pond. Let me think about all the ways I baptized. Or a hot tub. Did that once. That was my first. And we immersed and came back out. And why did we do that? Because when we identify ourselves with Christ and his resurrection and death, we're put down in the water as to dying to ourselves, and we're raised up to walk in newness of life. That is a symbol of your willingness to walk in obedience with Christ and make him Lord. When we make him Lord, he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's what we're talking about right now. Okay? Brian. Okay, nice segue, Brian, because I got to bring this to a close. So let me, while you're nurturing all those things, let me bring us to two facts. But first, I want to drop this passage of Scripture for you. This is from, I'd like us to read this together. This is from 1 Corinthians 6. Why does it always seem like my 20-minute messages are 50 minutes? I don't know why this always happens to me. It was a lapel mic this time. Yes, there's a paradigm here that's eternal, that time just works differently here. Yeah. This is a study Bible, so there's too many notes right now. Let me get to chapter 6 here. Do you not know, this is verse 15, that your bodies are members of Christ. Shall I then take members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Okay, so think about this. We are Christ. We're married to Christ. For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. This is Genesis. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. One spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know? Here's the point he's getting to. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So without getting into this whole idea of sexual immorality, but this is very clearly the point. So this is primary. The reason that sexual immorality is a difficult one is because sex was made to reveal the fact that we can be joined to Christ. It was part of the creative purpose. If we look at John 15, what happens if we are joined to Christ as a vine? What happens? We bear fruit. We were made to bear fruit. The Spirit of God puts us in a place that joins us to Christ in a way that bears fruit. And guess what? The fruit of the Spirit is right. Okay, so final 2 points. Two facts I want you to understand. Number one is, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God has seen fit to reside in you. 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 And then secondly, he has given us the ability to glorify Christ in these bodies. So, there are all kinds of things that can control us. And I will tell you, my family will tell you, that we have two bottles of NyQuil in the cabinet for those nights when we need to sleep and we need its control to help us sleep. I admit it. Now, there's nothing wrong with NyQuil unless you use it to not be controlled by the Spirit of God. Can you imagine we're even having a conversation about NyQuil today? By the way, during Prohibition, NyQuil would have been looked at a whole lot differently. This is what God wants from us. He doesn't want us doing things that control us. He doesn't want us taking things that control us. He doesn't want us to be in relationships that control us. He doesn't want us to be controlled by anything except for him. Now, that could be a very condemning word. So let me give you an encouraging word. The Spirit of God has freed us not to live by the flesh, but to walk in the wholeness of the Spirit of God, who frees us from the chains that Satan set that we need to be delivered from. This is the work of Christ, and this is how the Spirit sent to free us works on our behalf. Have you ever eaten a food, and I'll close with this, that looks delicious and feels terrible? It's got, oh man, I just got to have that. And you eat it and you go, oh, my body. I can't wait. The way I react to that is, okay, I guess I got to drink a couple bottles of water. Maybe it'll help flush the thing through my system. But have you ever eaten a very, very nutritious food? Maybe it didn't taste very good, but when you ate it, it felt good. It may be something that you had to close your eyes when you put it in your mouth. Or maybe even close your nose and close your eyes. But when it got in there, when it got into your body, you felt good. You had energy. That's what the Holy Spirit is. Purely, absolute purity. The Holy Spirit was given to you so that we could experience the kingdom of God in our bodies and in our lives, and to be controlled by the things of the kingdom of God and not the things of earth. Bill, I don't know where you want to take this conversation, but I think I made a good point to say.